What if the most mundane task in your life, the one you dread every week, could become an act of devotion? Picture a 2-year-old boy, mesmerized by the swirling clothes in his mother's washing machine, who grows up to fill auditoriums at the Mall of America with people desperate to learn his secrets. This isn't about cleanliness. It's about reclaiming a lost art that connects us to the people we love and the planet we inhabit. Every time you toss a dry clean only garment into the donation pile or replace a shirt ruined by mysterious yellow stains, you're surrendering power to an industry that profits from your confusion. But here's the truth. Almost everything you own can be washed at home, and doing so properly isn't just economical, it's transformative. Those tiny tags sewn into your clothes, they're lying to you. Not maliciously, but protectively. Manufacturers print the absolute minimum care instructions that won't land them in court, not what's actually best for your garments. Dry clean only often means we don't want to get sued if you mess this up. Consider cashmere. That luxurious fiber comes from goats living in harsh mountain climates, regularly exposed to rain and snow. Yet we're told it can't handle water? The truth is, gentle washing extends cashmere's life far beyond what dry cleaning can offer. Clear out your laundry arsenal. Those fresh mountain breeze detergents contain volatile organic compounds that irritate lungs and eyes. Fabric softeners coat textiles with silicone, reducing towel absorbency by 80%. Laundry pods cram 5 loads worth of chemicals into one, causing rashes and environmental harm. Replace this toxic collection with plant-based soap, sodium percarbonate, a non-toxic bleach alternative, washing soda, and a horsehair brush. Dry cleaning deserves particular scrutiny. Despite eco-friendly claims, the industry relies on perchloroethylene, a likely carcinogen linked to cancers and neurological problems. The solution? Stop dry cleaning entirely. That cashmere coat, silk blouse, wool suit, all can be washed at home with proper technique. That whites, lights, darks sorting system? Obsolete for 40 years. It originated with wringer washers that reused the same water sequentially. Modern machines use fresh water each cycle, and textile dyes have vastly improved. Yet we're still sorting like it's 1950. The better approach, sort into 4 categories. Whites, including creams and pale yellows, blacks, cool colors, blues, greens, purples, grays, and warm colors, reds, yellows, browns, and oranges. Add a 5th pile for technical activewear if needed. This prevents subtle color transfers like navy jeans bleeding onto rust-colored shirts. For multicolored items, ask which color dominates from a distance. Now for the radical part. Wash almost everything in warm water on the express cycle. Yes, even delicates and colors. Cold water in most homes hovers around 53°F, too cold to activate detergent properly. This leaves soap residue and dirt embedded in fibers, creating that dingy look we blame on age when it's actually inadequate cleaning. Warm water, 58 to 62°F, gets clothes genuinely clean without fading or shrinking. The express cycle, typically 28 minutes, provides ample cleaning while being gentler on fabrics than longer cycles. Machine drying devastates fabrics. High-quality garments survive just 50 washer-dryer cycles, but gain 70 more wears when air-dried, extending a shirt's life from 1 year to 3. Hang-woven items like shirts and trousers, lay knits flat. Reserve the dryer for t-shirts, socks, underwear, sheets, and towels. Use wool balls instead of dryer sheets for natural static control. Fabric softeners and dryer sheets coat textiles with silicone, making towels absorb 80% less water and reducing clothing breathability. They contain phthalates, endocrine disruptors, especially dangerous for children and pregnant women, and animal fat derivatives masked by petrochemical fragrances. Line drying reconnects us with rhythms our grandparents knew. The satisfaction of sun-dried sheets, the meditative quality of hanging clothes, fabrics that smell of fresh air rather than synthetic fragrance. It's slower, but that slowness is the point. Every stain tells a story. Barbecue sauce speaks of outdoor gatherings. Red wine recalls laughter with friends. The tragedy isn't the stain itself, but discarding the garment because we don't know how to save it. Understanding stain categories transforms panic into confidence. Oily stains, grease, makeup require solvents. Organic stains, blood, wine, need oxygen-based treatments. Inorganic stains, ink, mascara, demand targeted approaches. Combination stains, like foundation, require multiple steps. Address the oil first, then tackle the pigment. For lipstick, place a white washcloth underneath, spray with vinegar water solution, blot with cotton, then scrub with a soaped horsehair brush. For red wine, sprinkle sodium percarbonate on the stain and pour hot water through it. Phantom stains appear after drying when sugar residue caramelizes in the dryer's heat. Remove them by applying oil-based stain solution, sprinkling with sodium percarbonate, letting sit 30 minutes, then pouring nearly boiling water through the fabric before rewashing. Each solved stain preserves a memory. Every synthetic garment releases hundreds of thousands of microscopic plastic fibers into waterways with each wash, fibers that marine animals ingest and that persist for centuries. The solution isn't perfection, but consciousness. Choose natural fibers when possible, use shorter wash cycles, employ microfiber-catching devices. Most garments need refreshing, not cleaning, after a single wear. Steam out wrinkles and odors between washes, spot treat stains rather than laundering entire outfits. Line dry whenever possible, saving energy while extending garment life. When clothes finally wear out, donate or repurpose them. There's profound satisfaction in this approach, a feeling of alignment between actions and values. When you care for clothes properly, you're simultaneously caring for the planet, your budget, your health, and your sense of competence. You're choosing stewardship over consumption, mindfulness over convenience. Laundry is never just about laundry. When you wash someone's clothes, you're saying, "I see you. I care about how you present yourself to the world." This understanding transforms obligation into devotion. Teaching children to do laundry, not just their own clothes, but the entire family's, fosters empathy and service. They learn that love manifests in mundane acts, that caring for possessions shows respect for people, that competence brings satisfaction. The same principle applies to your own wardrobe. When you properly maintain clothes, you honor past decisions and future possibilities. That dress you've been saving? Wear it now. Life is the special occasion. Knowing you can clean anything liberates you from artificial restrictions. In a culture obsessed with productivity hacks, laundry offers something countercultural: the satisfaction of work done well, the meditative quality of repetitive tasks, the tangible results of effort invested. Your grandmother understood this. She knew that caring for textiles, those intimate second skins we wear daily, is ultimately about caring for people. You don't have to do laundry. You get to do laundry. When you do it with knowledge, intention, and love, it becomes a practice of devotion, a quiet rebellion against disposability, a way of saying that people and things matter enough to care for properly.